This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. 2020 was a school year like no other, and 2021 seems to be pretty much the same, unfortunately. The COVID-19 pandemic threw the process of learning and also the lives of teachers and students into disarray, to put it mildly. But despite the challenges, uncertainty, and shall we say strained bandwidth, many teachers devised so many clever ideas to better serve students through these times. And in an aim to help teachers address these shortcomings presented by the pandemic, the Cikgu Kickstart Awards was devised to provide them with professional development and support to run projects to improve education. So organised by Edification, I'm going to find out more about this initiative from Samuel Isaiah. He's the co-founder of Edification and he was also the top 10 finalist at the Global Teacher Prize 2020. And I'm also going to be chatting with Ishwa Singh from SK Tebrau Bakar Batu, which is in Johor, and he was one of the finalists for the Cikgu Kickstart Awards. Welcome, gentlemen. How are you today?
I'm doing good, thank you. How are you, Juliet?
Very well, thank you. Ishwa, nice to have you on the show as well. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Yes, thank you very much for inviting me as well.
Absolute pleasure. So nice to have you both on the show. And Sam, nice to have you back on the show. We caught up last year, of course. You know, as I mentioned, you were one of the top 10 finalists for the Global Teacher Prize 2020. You know, we were so happy. I think I couldn't stop seeing how happy we were for you. How was that whole experience for you? You know, being shortlisted, you know, the whole process, everything that went along with it. How was it for you and what sort of ideas did it spark for you to move forward from there?
Well, first of all, I was extremely grateful and honored to be the top 10 finalists of the Global Teacher Prize. I think despite what I did with the students and the community, I think what needs to shine the most is the capabilities of my students, which are Orang Asli students. And a lot of times they've been looked at a very negative light. You know, a lot of times it's being said that they are incapable of doing this. They are not motivated for education. So I wanted to frame them in a light where we celebrated how good they were, you know, how capable they are. And we as a system, whatever we provide them with, whatever methodologies we do in the classroom, we can change. We have to change in respect of their culture, of their way of life, and what they want from education. So it has been a great experience. And the winner of the Global Teacher Prize 2020, Ranjit Singh, what he did, he decided to share part of his winning $1 million. Yes. So when I saw that, I think he made me realize that change can only happen if we all work together. So for the Cikgu Kickstart, when I initially wanted to do it, I took that value that Ranjit was introducing us, that he was telling us, you know, he wanted to share $1 million. So I had very little when I started with Cikgu Kickstart, and it just went on from there, because I knew that in order for us to mitigate learning loss that has been happening throughout this year, we expected it to be only last year, but now it's coming to this year as well. Yeah. We need to do something. And who better to do it than teachers ourselves? Because we understand what happens in the classroom, what happens with the community, the challenges that we face. And I was also reflecting a lot when I was a teacher, when I was in school, what are the challenges I faced? So like you mentioned earlier on, there were like three main areas that I saw: professional development. A lot of teachers got great ideas, but they just needed to be pointed into the right direction of, you know, of how to package their ideas really well, of how to cater to the needs of their students. We also saw that there was a need to network these teachers to industry leaders who can fund them to create a certain cost of sustainability for their programs. And last but not least, we wanted to create contextualized solutions, because what we realized was different schools have got very different needs. Ishwar, for example, in Johor Bahru, has got very different needs compared to the kids in my school where I taught Orang Asli kids. Yeah. But no, I mean, I'm not saying that my school has better needs or bigger needs. It's just different. And we need contextualized solutions to cater to that. And the best people for it would be the teachers. So we decided to empower them with the Cikgu Kickstart Awards.
Okay, that's excellent. And we're going to talk a bit more about that. But Ishwa, maybe I can talk to you a little bit about how this pandemic has affected your work. So you are, of course, a teacher in Johor at SK Tebrau Bakar Batu. Tell me a little bit about, you know, what challenges the pandemic presented to you as a school teacher.
Yeah, I think that when the pandemic kick started in 2020, we were all shocked of how we want to approach the year, because it was the starting of the year. We were just getting started with the pupils, you know, especially the year one and the year two pupils, you know. So there was no one actual decisive plan that we could refer to. It was, everything was somehow we were walking in the dark trying to figure out how to get this along.
Mm.
I think the challenge was trying to figure out what is the best thing to do in the pandemic when schools were closed, because this is something that we have not faced earlier.
Yeah.
But I would say that this kind of challenge actually motivated teachers to actually come out of their context and think outside the box to produce materials that I think are very relevant to be used outside of the classroom in a short span of time. So the challenge that we see is, of course, trying to bring teachers out into the outside world, trying to show them that they can do better. And this pandemic has shown that they can do something that can make everyone proud about.
Mm-hmm. And how did you sort of attack it personally? You know, how did you interact with your kids? You know, how did you bridge all those gaps that, suddenly appeared, right? In gosh, threw the whole world into disarray. But yeah, gosh, what was happening in JB?
Well, for the start, I think we started off small. We started off in using WhatsApp, the only medium of communication that my parents and I could actually afford at that particular time, looking at the statistics at how parents do not have gadgets, have internet connectivity. So we started small using WhatsApp messages, sending voice notes to give out instructions. I was literally teaching my pupils using WhatsApp voice notes at the start.
Oh, wow.
As long as they can actually listen to me and look at the pictures, that is what we managed before the pandemic resided well in June. Then we started providing modules to the pupils. The parents come to school on a weekly basis. We provide them the modules and the instructions were given through WhatsApp notes. We provided video recordings. We have our YouTube channels for those who can watch YouTube. We do have YouTube channels. So I think the diversification of the materials that we provided according to the needs of the pupil definitely help the pupils in this pandemic. Like Sam said, there's no one way of looking at this challenge. Various challenges comes in. We try to cover all our bases. And at the end of the day, the important thing is our pupils learn. That is how we try to bridge the gaps that exist.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that ingenuity, all that cleverness that had to come out, all those plans and everything, that's exactly what Cikgu Kickstart wanted to support, right? You know, because, you know, these things also require funds, right? And I think that's another important aspect of the Kickstart Awards, right? Sam, tell me about that.
Yeah, like you said, one of the things that we realized that we needed to support these teachers, not just, you know, by giving them, by training them or building connections, we needed to give them what they actually needed, money, you know, finances. They actually just kickstart, because a lot of teachers, I've heard stories of teachers, I spoke to some teachers before Kickstart, you know, some of them took loans, like 5,000 ringgit loans, 10,000 ringgit loans, out of their own pockets to pay for it, you know, to get things. I was like, wow, these teachers are really amazing. They really go above and beyond for their students. You know, I was doing that too when I was with my Orang Asli kids, you know, but I relied a lot on crowdfunding. I started getting people to help me out, but a lot of teachers just don't have these resources. So I really wanted to give them, because empowerment is a very easy word for everybody to say, you know, we're going to empower you, but what do they need is finances, professional development, and that networking. So these were the three main areas that we looked at. So for our Cikgu Kickstart Awards, we decided to come up with 15 finalists. So we chose 15 finalists. We had about 300 applications in 3 weeks. The application window was only for 3 weeks. One of the main reasons why is edification is we are new. We don't have the capacity. If we opened it for 2 months, and if we got like about 1,000 applications, I don't think we could have handled it. So we made sure that we really wanted this amount of teachers so that we can really work on them. So we had 300 applications in 3 weeks. We finalized 15 finalists, and we really worked with them. We did not come in with an idea that we're going to teach you something. We are going to learn together and we're going to develop together. And what happened was, Juliet, we redefined the whole concept of what a competition was. Because the partners that we brought in from Teach for Malaysia, from Pemimpin GSL, from our funders, from IPGs, from the Ministry of Education, everybody came in together, and even the finalists themselves started commenting on each other's work with the intention to improve. So it wasn't like, you know, I'm going to win like those reality TV shows, like, you know, someone's going to win the $1 million or, you know, sure, the top prize or something like that. No, it wasn't. Everybody was in this together, and we saw that it was a journey of empowerment together. So yeah, empowerment came in the form of funds, in the form of resources, and also crucially that support that we gave each other.
Mm-hmm. And how is it for you, Ishwa? You know, what made you want to join this? I'm sure when you heard of it, you know, what sparked you to join this?
When I first saw the poster for this competition, I was like, okay, this is something new. I've never seen such competition where they provide opportunity for a teacher to actually pitch their own idea, giving them a liberty, the empowerment, giving them total authority to plan their journey for this particular competition. Looking at that, I had this idea in me that I want to empower not only my pupils, but also empower the parents at home. Looking at the pandemic, actually, how homes are converted into classrooms, that sparked the idea, why not we convert the parents into teachers? They are struggling. They are overnight teachers, I would call, suddenly waking up in the morning, okay, yeah, you are a teacher. That is something like a nightmare for them, trying to guide and teach. So that idea and concept that edification brought in was very exciting for me to try to bring up the challenge to make something. At the start, it was just for me to just participate. There was no any expectation. But looking at how it went, I would say that it's definitely a new experience for me, walking into this, empowering other teachers and also myself. And like Sam said, it's a professional development journey. I was different 3 months ago. And after walking through all the workshops, I would say I have changed. And this change in behavior in me is something I would like to resonate to other teachers outside in the coming future.
Okay, excellent. And we're going to find out more about that after this quick break. I'm speaking today to Samuel Isaiah. He's the founder of Edification. He was also the top 10 finalist for the Global Teacher Prize 2020. I'm also speaking to Ishwa Singh. He's a teacher from SK Tebra Bakar Batu over in Johor. And we're talking about the Cikgu Kickstart Awards. And Ishwa is one of the top 3 finalists. And we're finding out more about it and how it's empowering teachers, you know, to teach during these really, really difficult times. And we're going to find out more about the other projects after this quick break. You're listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs, and joining me on the line today are Samuel Isaiah. He's the founder of Edification. He's also one of the top 10 finalists for the Global Teacher Prize 2020. And also Ishwa Singh. He's a teacher from SK Tebra Bakar Batu over in Johor. And both of them were involved in something called the Cikgu Kickstart Awards, which was devised to provide professional development and support for teachers in an aim to improve education. So, you know, as I mentioned at the start of this interview, Sam, it's this whole thing was organized by Edification, which is something that you co-founded. Tell me a little bit about that. You know, what is Edification all about?
Right. We started with Edification about a year ago. And one of the main reasons why we wanted to come together because we saw there was a void in critical education discourse. That was our initial aim. We realized that there's been a lot of issues with regards to education in the past 2 to 3 months or so, you know, making schools a safer place, you know, bringing technology into education and all that. So, and what we realized was lacking was the voice of teachers. So we wanted to come up with an organization that addresses these matters. But then as we grew, we started to evolve and we saw ourselves collaborating with a lot of different organizations. And when the pandemic came to its peak, somehow mid last year or towards the end of last year, we realized we really needed to do something about it. And that is where the idea of Cikgu Kickstart came by. So currently Edification, there's 12 of us in Edification. All of us are public school teachers coming from across, you know, Sabah, Sarawak, Johor, Pahang, Kuala Lumpur, Perak, everywhere. We are all scattered across. All of us are young, passionate. We also believe that we are never too young to lead and never too young to make a difference. So it's an organization that we came up that is by teachers, for teachers. We want to represent teachers in Malaysia in a different way that's not really been represented before. Mm-hmm. And the idea for JGroup Kickstart actually came, like I said earlier on, we wanted to mitigate learning loss because of the pandemic. But it was not an idea that came from ourselves alone. As we developed the idea, we realized we needed help. So we connected with organizations like Teach for Malaysia and Pemimpin GSL, mostly started speaking to Sun Seng, the CEO of TFM, and Cheryl Fernando, the CEO of Pemimpin GSL. And we started brainstorming, see how we can support each other. And they were really excited. And then we went on to meet our funders, and the rest is history. So I would say it was something that was really small in the beginning. Just a group of teachers wanted to make changes, and it became like a nationwide program where we brought in more teachers and we empowered more teachers altogether. Even I myself, we could not have predicted how successful this was going to be, because we saw that these teachers, some of them were like issuer with brand new ideas. Some of them have been doing it for a long time already, and they just needed that additional spark for their project and the impact of what they're doing to actually take a significant change altogether. And I'm really grateful to be given that opportunity to help these teachers help and their students as well.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful, you know. And like you said, the response was fantastic, right? The word you used was exceptional number of innovative projects from all these Malaysian public school teachers.
Trust me, it was really, really hard for us to make a decision. One of the highlights of the whole event, Juliet, if I may, was the live pitch. So where we got these finalists, 15 finalists, to actually share their ideas with industry leaders. So we collaborated with organizations like Makri, Pudimas, like Macy. We had the director of Macy also. We had, there were like 15 industry leaders, and they were amazed as well. They were like, we never knew we had teachers like this. And that was the main intention that we had. But it was really hard to choose the winners, you know, but it had to be done. And Isho is one of the best of the best that we had.
Okay. And just talk to me a little bit about the mechanics of the awards, right? So I know it started sometime in February, right? You said, and just on Saturday night, you had an award ceremony. But what happened in between that time? So there was development programs. There was, like you said, a pitch session. What exactly happened in those months?
So in March to April, we actually opened the application process, and it was for about 3 weeks. So after that, we did the selection process and all that. But initially, we wanted to do all this and wrap it up by June. But because of school closures, because of brand new lockdowns, we had to extend the timeline, which I think worked for the best. But in that time, what we did was we had a lot of professional development sessions. We had 6 in total. And these sessions allowed the finalists to actually re-envision, revisit, relearn, pitch new ideas, get new input from other people, and redevelop what they had already originally pitched. And I think that was a very fruitful process. On top of that, we had one-on-one consultation hours with the finalists as well. So we gave them opportunities to speak to experts, face-to-face, talk to them, improve certain areas as well of that. So that took some time. We really realized that it was important for us to focus on our ideas. It was important for us to reflect on what we wanted to do to make sure that whatever we are doing together has a significant impact. So that took a lot of time. And then once that was done, we came up with a live pitch event. So we made a collaboration with almost 15 organizations, including Budimas, including Makri, and these organizations, including Google. So we brought them in and to make sure that they listen from the house's mouth, from the source, from the inspiring teachers. And then we had, last Saturday, we had the Winners Announcement Award. So from this moment on, what we are trying to do, we actually, together with our partners, Teach for Malaysia and Pemimpin GSL, we're going to try to scale these ideas of these teachers. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways of doing that is we are coming up with a social innovation toolkit. So this toolkit will be shared to teachers across Malaysia. And the finalists, the 15 finalists, will be conducting workshops to train teachers on how to use that toolkit. So we are planning this to happen sometime in August to October in 2021. So that will be the timeline for that. Because if we had great ideas, but we don't scale them, it loses the purpose. And if you don't encourage more teachers to adapt these ideas to their own needs, it's kind of like any other award show than already. We will encourage more teachers to actually come up with better ideas for their students. So that is our intention. That's what's going to happen soon.
Okay, and I love the fact that, you know, there's so much of exchange of ideas, right? And like you said earlier before the break, that the teachers, it didn't become a competition, it became a sharing session, you know, it became, you know, an exchange of ideas. And like you said, there's no one size fits all, so everybody can take right. everything from, you know, different places and come up with their own solution, right?
I think the whole progress process was very organic. It was very bottom up. That's what we were looking for. Because a lot of times when we see, you know, policy decisions or program decisions, always from the, it's always top down.
Top down, yeah.
It's always someone from the outside coming into schools telling Ishwar, Ishwar, I think this is what's best for your kids, you know. And that's not really true. What we need to do is we need to empower. Because Ishwar has been trained. He's been trained in university, in teachers training college. He has the content knowledge. He has the theoretical knowledge. And most importantly, he has been building relationship with the children, with the community for the past 4 years. So we need to tap into that. We need to merge those two elements together and come up with something together. Not for Ishwar, but with Ishwar. That's what we were rooting for. And I think that whole process was very empowering. It was even more, it was especially empowering for me. I learned so much from Ishwar, from the other finalists as well.
Okay. And we will talk about the other finalists in a little bit. But Ishwar, tell me about your project, right? It's called, you were, of course, as I mentioned, one of the top three finalists. Your project is called Convertible English Teacher from Parents to Teachers. I'm going to quote here. It proposes a sustainable and collaborative model to empower unemployed parents by converting them into teachers. So break that down for me. What is that all about?
All right. The idea is that we were trying to use and apply the model whereby unemployed parents, especially mothers at home, can be teachers to guide and train the kids. In this pandemic, there's one thing that is very prevalent is that the enhancement of technology, everything is about technology. But looking at that, we are losing something called a human touch. Education should also include a human touch. However, schools are closed. We as teachers cannot approach the pupils. That is where the idea came in, that why don't we utilize these parents who are at home, utilize them so that they can be teachers. These parents who are unemployed, especially the mothers who are at home, can be teachers to guide and train their kids on how to carry out their homework, especially in English. Why English? All my parents are Malay parents who have little or no exposure to English at home. Mm. So imagine how scary the situation is for us, knowing the fact that they have been deprived the knowledge of English for months when schools were closed. That is very scary. And the reality was shown when they came back to school in 2021. We could see the vast difference whereby the void that happened in 2020, the impact is seen in 2021. Because of that, we teachers decided that we had to do something about it. We trained the kids throughout the session in the early part of 2021. However, it is still not enough because we had to cover the syllabus of 2020 as well as moving forward with the 2021 syllabus. That is where I decided that we need to carry out something drastic. This pandemic had been challenging us in a way that we have not think about. So why not we fully utilize the parents? And the nightmare became real when schools were closed once again. And looking at the situation right now, which is getting serious, we are just reverting backwards. We are not even moving forward. Yeah. Therefore, looking at the strategy that we have been employing since last year, I believe that changes had to be done. And thus, the idea came about. Convertible English teachers, not only empowering the teachers, not only empowering the students, but also empowering another important stakeholder in the education field, the parents. Working with the parents is very important in our conducive environment, actually, and many people are not realizing that. That is what my idea is all about, trying to put parents together into the circle and making them to be responsible towards the kids' education as well. In this pandemic, when the homes are converted to schools, parents must be involved as well, no matter what happens, because they are there with the kids, replacing us, the teachers. Mm-hmm. That is the whole idea about. And the focus that I had for convertible English teachers is looking at phonics. Why phonics? Phonics is the foundation for reading literacy, for reading fluency. Most pupils that came back had deteriorated in terms of reading fluency. They were unable to read clearly. And this is a major learning loss that we need to prevent from the start. Or else, if we let this happen, we will have a generation who might not be able to read. And this is only the context in my school. Yeah. Imagine how is it happening in other schools. So looking at this project, how this project empowers teachers and try to innovate our idea to be explored by others, I think it is a very good platform that education has provided us. Not only, it is never about winning a competition, it's about pitching our idea and motivating other teachers out there to try out what I feel is the best for my school using the social toolkit that will be developed in the coming future.
Okay, so currently it's at that stage now where you're producing the toolkit, which you can then share. I mean, what is the current status of the project?
The current state of the project is currently we are developing the modules, the localized phonic modules. This is very important. Phonic modules are modules that are usually imported from UK or from Cambridge. When we give this module to the parents, they will feel that it is not suitable for them. So what I'm coming up with is a localized phonic module which can be applied at home, which can be used by parents who might not have the methodology of teaching. Looking at one go of the module, they are able to train their kids, because we need to understand these parents are not teachers. They do not have the training. They do not have the experience. But we can try to make things easy for them, provide a module that they can teach and guide their pupils at home, with support, training and motivation by us, the teachers. Empowering the parents, making them to feel confident, telling them, hey, you can teach, you can be a teacher, you can do it. I, as a teacher, I will help you. We will work things out together. That is the idea of this whole project.
Okay. I'm smiling only because I have a five-year-old going on six and I couldn't teach her phonics. You know, I think my English is so good, but my God, I did not know how to teach her phonics. It was alien to me and I was struggling. I had to watch YouTube videos to learn how to teach her phonics. It's crazy. So I'm waiting for that module, Ishwa. Please share it with me as well. Sam, sure. Just talk to me about the other projects that were also part of the finalists. So there were three finalists who will be receiving, I think it's 6,000 ringgit each, right? And there's another remaining 12 who will receive 2,000 ringgit apiece. Tell me a little bit about the other two top finalists.
Right, the other two finalists, one is Cikgu Alif. So Cikgu Alif is teaching in MRSM Tun Fuad Stephens Sabah.
Sabah.
So he's got an amazing idea of how to teach coding without the use of computers. Exactly.
Wow.
I saw your reaction. When I read his submission, I was like, who is this guy? His story is amazing, Juliet, because he was originally not a science and technology teacher. He was a geography teacher, if I'm not mistaken. And he saw the need and it originated. He started this program called Kampung Code. I think the name itself was brilliant. It's called Kampung Code. And how he did it was he actually trained his students. He saw that there was a need for rural and remote students in Sabah. So what he did was, together with his students and together with his community, he actually came up with a learning kit called the Kampung Code Learning Kit, taking into consideration their input, their knowledge, and he empowered the students to actually teach other students in the rural areas. So he's been doing this, if I'm not mistaken, for about 2 years now, 2 to 3 years now, and he has already taught over 1,000 students to teach other students. I don't really know the details, but it's just really mind-blowing. And we saw that his project has like got huge potential to be scaled, because he saw the need, similar to Ishwar. A lot of our finalists, most of our finalists, they came out with interventions and programs based on the need. It's all very evidence-based. I'm sure Ishwar has been observing, has been speaking to the parents, has been gathering feedback, gathering data, gathering evidence. And this is crucial. A lot of times, teachers may make decisions that are not evidence-based, that's not data-based. It's not done through a needs analysis, but these teachers, they are leading the way. So, The other winning finalist is Cikgu IK, Cikgu Izhar, and Cikgu Razif. So they came up with a program called EduCogator. So it's like a content, an online learning platform whereby it encourages teachers to be content creators. And this particular website kind of like mediates and mitigates and bridges all the different types of learning content into one and it's updated automatically. So for example, if Ishwar and I would like to contribute, what we can do is we can just register with them and our content will be aggregated on that website. And from there on, what they do is actually they conduct training for teachers as well to use those content effectively. And currently, they are in collaboration with almost 6,000 teachers already. Mm-hmm. And that's like amazing. And their target by in 3 years is to reach 17,000 teachers to be content creators on their platform. And that represents about 3.5% of the teachers in Malaysia. Mm-hmm. And looking at the numbers alone, this is a free platform done by three teachers. That is amazing. Without the thousands of dollars, without the big funders funding them, they are able to do this. And we see a lot of potential in their projects as well. So I think what the three finalists show, they show a lot, that they show that there's strength in diversity, and each aspect and each problem that teachers are focusing on is not greater than the other. Each of them has their very own need. And what we saw in the three winning finalists and even in the top 15 finalists is we had strength in numbers and we've got very different skills. Some of us showed a lot of technical, you know, technology skills. People like Ishwar showed his leadership qualities of how teachers are actually innovators and leadership inside and leaders inside and outside of the classroom. So it's amazing to celebrate these different strengths and these different, you know, criteria and capabilities of our Malaysian teachers, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's wonderful. It's, oh gosh, it's such a wonderful initiative. And it's not the end here, right? It continues from here. What are the future plans there? You know, what's going to happen from now?
Right. So we hope that schools open soon so that can actually attempt to effectively carry out their programs to mitigate whatever learning loss that has happened. So that is the plan for now. And we, like I mentioned earlier on, it's about the social innovation toolkit. So we're going to develop it together with the finalists, with our partners TFM and with our partners Pemimpin JSL as well. So that is the plan. And we plan to do workshops for teachers featuring these finalists so that we can get more teachers doing the same convertible English teacher concept, maybe a convertible math teacher concept somewhere else, or, you know, to make sure that this is replicated in other states, in other schools. So I think the best impact comes when we all work together, when we all share our ideas together, and when we empower one another. So that's what we are doing next. And hopefully, if we have the resources, we're going to do another kickstart next year and the year after that, hopefully. So we are hoping for that.
Okay, excellent. Because, I mean, ultimately, you want these things to be sustainable, isn't it? I would imagine that's the end game as well.
Yes, definitely. And I think looking at the bigger picture, it also shows that Malaysia has got great teachers, and hopefully people like Ishwar, Cikgu Alif, Cikgu Izhar, Cikgu Razif, and all the top 15 finalists get international recognition as well, not just in Malaysia, because I think the ideas is not just good for Malaysia, it's good for the world, it's good for international standards as well. If you look at Ishwar's model, if you look at Cikgu Alif's Kampung Code model, I think it can be replicated not just in Malaysia, but in other countries as well. So hopefully we can build on that to make connections for these teachers so that their ideas not just spread in Malaysia, but worldwide.
Yeah, the Global Cikgu Kickstart Awards. That's what we want. That's our aim. Okay, excellent. Well, thank you so much, you know, for sharing. And, you know, if anyone's listening and they'd like to, get involved in any way, maybe they're teachers, maybe they are from the corporate sector, you know, what's the best way for them to get in touch and to collaborate?
Right. I think the best way would be through our social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Edification MY. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram as well. Our website is currently under construction. We are changing the whole look of it. So the best place to get in touch with us, or you can just get in touch with me directly on social media as well, on Samuel Isaiah. But if you'd like to support our finalists, all of them are on social media. So Ishwar, would you like to?
Yeah. Ishwar, please. How can we keep in touch with you as well, Ishwar?
Yeah, I think you can visit my Instagram page, my project page at Convertible English Teacher, whereby we'll be updating on a weekly basis the progress of the project for you to see how the project goes on with the parents. You can also visit my school Facebook page, SK Terbrau Bakar Batu, where we'll be showcasing this project and the development, including the videos and how we go about. Because right now, this project is no longer my project. This project is not mine. It is for my school. That's why I'm showcasing it at my school platform to encourage other parents and to encourage other schools to replicate this project in the coming future. Thank you.
All right, excellent. Well, thank you so much, both of you, for joining me today. And again, you know, just search for Sam on social media. Just search for Ishwa on social media. I guess just search for Cikgu Kickstart Awards as well, right? Keywords there to look for if you'd like to find out more, yeah?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, all right. And I've been speaking today to Samuel Isaiah. He's the founder of Edification. He was also one of the top 10 finalists at the Global Teacher Prize 2020. And also Ishwa Singh, who is a teacher at SK Tabrau Bakar Batu. He was one of the finalists of the Cikgu Kickstart Awards, which is what we were discussing today, which was, of course, devised to provide teachers, our public school teachers actually, with professional development and support to run projects to improve education. We know education is in a mess at the moment, like the rest of the world. So here's hoping for some changes from this. And again, just get in touch with them on social media. And if you miss any part of today's interview or any previous Live and Learn interviews, just search for the podcast at bfm.my/learn or on the BFM app. This has been Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.